Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
I think I told you when we started this thing a couple weeks ago that I was, and I still am, a rap diehard fan. So, as I promised, today we will do things a little differently. The formula will be original. I will enunciate a rap quote. I will tell you the artist and the song it came from. And then we will go from there. Most people see rap music as delinquent music, but I would argue that it all depends on what type of rap music you listen to. If you listen closely, you'll know there's substance in rap music. And just like we'll see in a few minutes, you can learn a lot if you listen. Today, I would like to introduce your ears to a rapper that I personally enjoy listening to. He's big on life quotes and he's always putting himself in a position where he has something to say about life. He goes by Ransom and his government name is Randy Nichols. Allow me to enunciate the quote and then we'll go from there. If you want to listen to the song per se, I added the link in the description. The song belongs to a featured album between Ransom and Conway the Machine. Here goes the quote. "You were born looking like your parents, but you're gonna die looking like your life choices." Let's pause there for a minute and contemplate the sentence. There are two principal concepts that jump straight to our views as we observe this bar. Ransom is a very talented lyricist, and the way he would craft bars, it seems to me that he has a view of a life that most people can't fathom. That is what I like about rap. So, like I was saying, we are directly projected through the enunciation of the two main concepts of existence, which are life and death. But that is easy. So let's not stop our inquisition so close to our view. To understand better and to stretch further our view, what we need to do is to break this whole bar down to the tiniest part of it. We need to dismember it in such a way that there is no longer any part of it that is subject to confusion. And I promise that the light will show. Understanding this bar might seem like a regular Friday for some people, particularly if you like punchline and rap. However, what I'm trying to achieve here goes beyond just screaming of beautiful surprise as you listen to something that just hits your mind. Yeah, I want to go a step further. I want this episode to remind you that there's more than meets the eyes. Or should I say, in this case, the ears. So, let's break this thing down to its tiniest bit. Objectively, there are two parts to this thing. First, you were born looking like your parents. But then eventually, you will die looking like your life choices. First, let's contemplate what it means to be born. Coming into life can be understood from different perspectives. Different strengths can come together to nurture the concept of birth. Ultimately, a birth is the start of something that was not there before. But where did that thing come from? We learn from Newton that nothing ever came from nothing, meaning everything has to come from something, right? Everything has got to have a provenance, an origin. Biologically, the action of birth is, let's say, made by a mother. It consists in building a person in her belly, putting it together as thoroughly as possible. In so doing, she gives what we will later call a baby, a part of her genetics, along with that of the father who gave the other half of him, right? At that point, the baby becomes something. The baby becomes. It starts its existence. It evolves from something that was not to something that is. But that evolution must involve two different parts that came into collaboration to create the child. The child, then, as a fruit of the partnership, will take on traits from both parents. That's what it means to be born and look like one's parents. This might sound obvious because it can actually not be otherwise. We all have witnessed birth, and as a child grows up, we say that he or she looks more like the father or the mother, or even both. The reason why I wanted to make this obvious is just so we can get this out of the way, because the truth is that the kind of birth and resemblance Ransom is talking about is not necessarily the one related to the physicality of existence. It is deeper than that. Human beings are social animals. To a certain degree, we tend to become product of our entourage. There is an idiom that says that we tend to be the median of the five people we spend the most time with. However, before we are old enough to have a social life, we mostly learn habits. And thanks to our abilities to quickly register and learn habits, when we are infants, we then selectively take on and incorporate certain behaviors displayed by our parents. This is not necessarily because we are born from them, which is only logical, but it can also be because we spend time with them and unknowingly start to have pretty much a social behavior that is similar to the ones they exhibit. But that is just the beginning of it. Let's keep going. What I just described is the unintentionally received social skills that parents bequeath to children. But other than that, there is what we commonly call education. Education comes in various forms, but the very first education a child ever receives is that the parents give him or her. That education is the main element that decides where the child might fit on the food chain of society. The fact is, depending on the education the child receives, and most importantly, depending on the various elements that make up the education, the rest of the child's life might be decided. Some parents teach the kids how to behave in society, or different values such as courage, fortitude, compassion, resilience, etc. Not only by telling them they have to be dead, but also by putting them in situations they must be dead. And the latter is really what ingrains the desired habit into a child. Because from the moment he acquires those habits, he starts exercising them with the long gone remembrance that he or she got those values from the educations the parent gave. When people ask you, why are you like that? What do you say? Well, your default answer would be, I don't know. I guess I was born like that. Notice that I said your default answer. This means that that is the only answer you give when you do not know how to answer, when you do not have an answer. But the fact is that you are not like that. You were not born like that. You were never like that. And truth be told, all those good and bad habits that you display, you would not be able to comprehend nor understand them if you were not living in your body. At that age of your life, meaning at a young age, your mind is impressionable. And this is based on a very simple fact that it was blank to begin. So your upbringing and all your future traumas, if you ever happen to have any, will be defined by the people that educated you, what they taught you, and how well you assimilated everything you were taught. So first, you will be blessed with the genetics of both your parents. They will influence you to a certain extent. And then eventually, you will have to receive every little change that is due to the epigenetics modifications. In case you're wondering, epigenetics is the study of the heritable changes in genes expression, meaning that you will inherit expressions change of your parents' gene without the DNA of the gene being changed. Basically, you still have the basic material your parents gave you, but you also inherit every single modification in their genes expressions. Now, mind you, the epigenetics can be triggered by social lifestyle factor such as drugs, stress, exposure to environmental pollutants, or healthy lifestyle, exercise, diet, and so on. There goes another set of resemblance that you can receive from your parents. So, like we said earlier, it does not have to be externally physical. It can be internal as well. You were born looking like your parents. So far, we have noticed that the resemblance can be just physical, which is logical due to the biology relationship that exists between the offsprings and the parents that make him. Also, we have seen that the resemblance can be genetic and epigenetic. We have also seen that a child can unconsciously pick up parents' behavior, not because of biology, but just because he or she is inclined to be highly receptive to new habits when he or she is exposed to them due to his or her infancy. That has proven, according to science and diverse experiences, to be the time in life when one is more malleable. We have also seen how conscious education can shape the build of the child. This last part might not seem obvious, but allow me to make it clear. As we discuss resemblance, speaking of conscious education, my fourth show. However, let's not forget that parents cannot bequeath to their offsprings values that they do not believe in and thus do not practice. Because who will exert on a child the pressure to practice values that they don't believe in? Such things need not to be explained further. So let's move on. At this point, I'm quite sure that you are starting to grasp the concept. You come into this world appearing like your parents in more ways than one. You grow when you smile, lie, cry, scream, walk, run. You might look like one of them, but on a deeper level, you wear some of their signatures like glove. It fits you so much so that people see them in you. So not just physically, but rather conceptually. That is what it really means to look like your parents in this context. From that perspective, we can foresee how we reflect our parents in their looks, their habits, their lifestyles, their drive, their social behavior, because all those little things can be summed up into one single outcome. Believe it or not, each one of those things we just talked about converge toward a single point, which is what? Life choices, life decisions. Just think about it. It may not seem as obvious as we'd expect, but the way you are brought up will play big roles in how you decide to lead your life, either in a positive way or a negative one. That does not mean that everything we talked about earlier will push you into one direction necessarily, but it means that those things would be catalysts to most decisions you will make in your life. Either they will drive you to them or they will drive you away from them. Because the whole point of you being a sum of all those different elements is that certain mental considerations would not exist in your life if those elements did not exist in the exact way they did or do. So long as we are alive, we all have two lives. The one we live when decisions are being made for us, and then the one we live when we start making decisions for ourselves. Some people are lucky enough to live both lives equally. Some have the first longer than the second because they are irresponsible. Some also have the second one longer than the first because they are either orphans or have irresponsible parents and are quickly obliged to fend for themselves. This second part of our life, or this second life, seems to be embedded in the first, that we struggle to differentiate from each other. We've all probably seen some people dealing with traumas from back when they were kids. Although they are already grown-ups and are supposed to be able to get their shit together, right? That is where the intricacy of the dualism lies. The fact is that life is not linear. It comes in all forms and shapes. It comes with all kinds of joy or suffering, pain and bliss, clarity and confusion. But one thing that is even more interesting is that life is misunderstood when it comes to its fairness, while dealing with the cards one can play with. Life does not care much if one is ready to handle this or that. It just throws at you whatever it wants to. Now you must fend for yourself. That is where most people get confused. Most of us assume that being man has an age. Being subject to life's attacks should be for older people. But how old is old? How young is young? How weak is fragile? What is the threshold upon which normalcy should allow life to treat us as equal adversaries to itself? That's probably a question we'll never have a clear answer to. And the reason is that some people younger than 15 are facing trouble that 34 and 40 years old cannot even step to. Now, it's not enough to know there are two parts to life. One must also train one's eyes to see and recognize where those lineaments draw and separate both lives. Because, as we alluded to earlier, it is not the same for everyone at one point in life. You will have to stop relying on your parents to make decisions for you, to choose for you, or even to do for you. That is where we meet the second and possibly most important part of Ransom Ball. You will die looking like your life choices. Pay great attention here. I'll give you a receipt. The keyword is choice. It's very important that we all notice that word and understand it for what it is, and especially how much it impacts our lives in regard to many things. Notice that as you were born, no choice was really left for you to make. Everything was chosen before you came, even your name. For instance, as a baby, nothing you did was ever a decision that you made. Even when your parents decided to call you Lucifer because they liked the show, well, it ain't really much you can do about it now, is there? No, you just cruise through life being Lucifer because your dumb father decided to punish you and your stupid mother wasn't articulate enough to say, "Don't you dare put that name on my kid." But as you grow, you start to gain autonomy. Now you start to notice that you can shape your life. If you happen to have a different name other than Lucy, you start choosing on your own to give that name as your first name when people ask you, "What's your name?" See, that is the typical example of the assertion, born looking like your parents. Because right there, you literally epitomize the life taste of your father, which is a part of himself that he would like to pass on to you. But then you age, go to school, your friends start to ask your name. Now, instead of Lucifer, you say God-given, or Paul, or Jeremiah. Now you are making life decisions. You are making decisions for yourself because you feel like what your parents wish on you does not fit you at all. But those are just little things. It's more complicated than that. The fact is that when it comes to more serious stuff such as life behavior that you inherit from your parents, well, you cannot make any potent reparation by disregarding the root of the problem, which is still in the first part of your life. Remember we said earlier that the little elements that converge into the creation of you have their roots in your parents' vices, qualities, and tendencies. We also said that those things do not influence your decisions in the sense of giving you a straight direction, but rather in the sense of because they exist, you have to make decisions regarding certain matters that you would have not thought of if those elements were not part of you as a person. Let's say you decide to be the richest man alive. That decision will not necessarily be caused by the fact your parents were poor. They will not be triggered either because of their poverty. Because even though they might be poor or rich, you still have the choice not to go either way. But you still make some of your decisions knowing that you might go either way, because you know of the existence of those two possibilities. You can say, "My parents are poor, so I must become rich." Or you could say, "My parents are poor. That means I'm cursed by inheritance. So what's the point for me to do all this? It's the waste of my time. It's not worth it. Anyway, I will die poor." Are you starting to understand now? Here you have a clear choice, but none of those choices were clearly presented to you because your parents were either poor or rich, but rather because you have caught consciousness of the concept of poverty / riches related to your parents. As conscientious as you are of the poverty, it does not mean that you will stay poor nor rich. It only means that you now have the choice to take definite action either way. And that is exactly what matters. The choice that you make today as an adult, because you are considered an adult if you are of age of choosing. So the choice that you make today defines who you will be tomorrow. But not only tomorrow, but also who you will be by the time God decides to take your soul back. And here, it is not just figurative, it is also literal. If you decide today, as you weigh 250 pounds, that you need to drop some weight, then stick to the plan. Then you will not be 250 the day you die. In that regard, you will be dying looking exactly like the choice you made not to be 250 pounds anymore. If you look in your mirror and decide that you do not look the way you think you can look, well, you can do something to look better, right? That is a choice that you made to change. And as long as you stick to that choice and transition it into a decision, you will not look the same by the time you die. For everyone to understand, this episode is necessary for everyone to understand the concept of the choices that were made for you as opposed to the choices you must make for yourself. Because your second life is only there to allow you to right some of the wrongs that were made for you when you did not have the choice to make any decisions. If your father was an alcoholic, you can decide to stay away from the bottle. By doing so, you assure not to die of alcoholism, and by extension, looking like an alcoholic in your coffin when your time comes. Or you can also choose to find an excuse and blame it on genetics and say you cannot do better. Remember the difference between the cards you were dealt and what you can do with those cards. You might lose or win, but if you make the decision to lose, you will still lose more miserably than he who made the decision not to lose. Now that's your choice. You were born looking like your parents because of their biology, their genetics, the habits they gave you unconsciously, and those they gave you consciously through education. It's fine, but it only matters as far as you allow it to matter. What really matters is that you're gonna die looking like your life choices. The choices you have made, those you have not made, and most importantly, those you have decided not to make, they will all reflect on you as you pass on to the other life. They will reflect in your regrets, your physics, as you can barely stand upright at 50 when your 80 years old elder is still benching at the gym because he decided years ago to take good care of himself. Those are the life choices you are faced with. Whether you make them or you don't, is yours to make as a choice. But believe it, it will show as you breathe your last air. I'd like to invite parents to make good choices for their kids, and most importantly, to teach them how to make good choices in life. It goes a very long way. My name is Ice, and this is the Ice Pod. Don't look like bad choices when you die. Remember, no matter how life is fucked up, you can still turn it around. you can still turn shit around. I know you can. I'll see you gentlemen next week. Until then, peace.